When the Queen was crowned at her coronation, she was handed the royal scepter with its diamond and crusted cross and the largest diamond in the world. I think we've got a picture of it. It's called the Star of Africa. That's in the Queen's scepter. It's the Star of Africa. That diamond in the middle there, its estimated value is £400 million. If it went up for auction, I'm sure it would go for more than that. But that's its estimated value, £400 million. Very hard to get your head around that kind of money, isn't it? But in the service of the coronation service, the Archbishop of Canterbury presented the Queen with something else, not that, something else, and he described it as the most valuable thing the world affords. What is that? More valuable than the Star of Africa? More valuable than anything else in the whole wide world? What was it? Yes, it was the Bible. That's what he gave to her and said, this is more valuable than anything else the world affords. The most valuable thing in the world, quite a claim. Yeah? But it's not a claim to financial worth. The Bible's in your hands in the seats. They probably cost us about £10. The value of the Bible lies in what it is and in what it says. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the message of the living God to the world. It's God telling us what he's like. It's God telling us what his son Jesus has done for us. It's God telling us that he loves us, telling us how we can know him and enjoy him forever. That makes the Bible priceless, the most valuable thing on the earth. So you're ready to turn to the treasure. We're going to do that now. We're going to have our Bible reading. Mark's going to come and do that for us. It's in Matthew's Gospel. He'll give us the reference and the page number. Matthew chapter 13. Thank you.
So the reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, and that's found on page 980 in your church Bibles. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. That passage is found in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's book, is all about the King. It's all about the King of God's kingdom, the Christ, or the Messiah. It means, literally, it means anointed one. The Christ is the anointed one. In the Old Testament, kings were anointed with oil. Oil was poured on their heads. It showed they had a special job to do. Actually, when our queen was crowned, she had a secret ceremony where oil was poured on her head too, showing that she had a special job to do. But the Christ in the Bible, the anointed one, the King of all kings, is the one that God would send into the world to do the most special of jobs, the greatest job ever, and that's to rescue the world and to rule the world forever. And right from the start, from this book, Matthew's Gospel, Matthew is telling us that Jesus of Nazareth is that king. He is the Christ. So he begins his book by saying, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He is the king. But what's the king like? And what's his kingdom like? What's his rule like? Well, in Matthew 13, that Mark's just read to us, we have the king telling us exactly what his rule is like, exactly what his kingdom is like. It's a group of stories that all contain the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then we get these stories and these pictures. And we just read two of them, the story of the hidden treasure and the story of the pearl. So the first story, here's this treasure. We've got a picture of some treasure. Here's this treasure. Whoa! And it's hidden in a field, and a man finds the treasure. He finds it, and he wants to make sure that he gets that treasure. And in order to get the treasure, he's got to get the field. And to get the field, he's willing to sell everything he owns to buy that field. Everything. And so he covers the treasure, and he rushes to the estate agents, and he puts his house on the market, gets a quick sale. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But he gets a quick sale. That means he's homeless, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He sells his car next, and he sells his TV, and he sells his laptop, and he sells his iPad, and he sells his phone, and he sells his PlayStation, and he sells all his clothes, he sells his LP collection, he sells his Liverpool season ticket. He empties all his savings accounts. He cashes in his pension. He sells his shares. He runs to the owner of the field with all this money. And he makes him an offer he can't refuse, and the field becomes his. He gives everything to make that treasure his. And notice that he does it joyfully. Joyfully. This is a story of joyful sacrifice. Second story, here's a merchant, a pearl collector, and he's a regular at the great auction houses of Sotheby's and Christie's, and he's on the lookout. He's on the lookout for pearls, fine pearls, and he finds one. He finds a fine pearl of great value. And to get that pearl, to make it his own, he goes away and he sells everything, just like the other man. He sells everything he has. Nothing left, just everything. He gives everything to get that pearl, and he buys that one pearl. So do you get the picture? Jesus the King is saying, that's what my rule's like. That's what my kingdom is like. Jesus, the King, here's the meaning. Jesus, the King, is like those men. He gave everything to get the treasure. What treasure? What treasure did Jesus, the King, give everything to get? You. You. Me. We're the treasure. Sometimes I think we read the parable the wrong way around. We think we're the ones looking, and Jesus is the one found. It's the other way around. It's the other way around. We are so loved by him. In ourselves, you know, we're the treasure, we're the pearl, but in ourselves, we're not valuable in ourselves, but in the King's eyes, we're so valuable. We're so loved by him, we're so treasured by him, we're so precious to him that he came to find us and joyfully sacrificed everything to make us his own. And that's what the King is like. And that's what his kingdom is like. So you get it? He's the great seeker, the King, and we, his subjects, are the sought after. He is the great finder, and we, his subjects, are the found. He is the great buyer, and we, the subjects, are the ones who've been bought at a great price. He is the great rejoicer, and we are the ones rejoiced in. He is the great sacrificer, and we, the subjects of the kingdom, are the ones that he sacrificed everything for. That makes him the great lover, and it makes us the loved. You get the picture? Question is, what did this selling everything to buy the treasure, to get the pearl, look like for the King? It's a really important question. What did it look like? What did it mean for him? And later in Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples what it will mean. So some words come up on the screen. Jesus said this, famous words, the Son of Man, royal title, big title, Son of Man, top person in the universe, King of Kings, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So to have a treasured people for himself, the King has to set them free. He has to ransom them from a terrible slavery. What is the ransom part price? His life. He dies to have a people. And then later in the Bible, this is how the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says this, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You see, to have a treasured people for himself, it meant the King had to become poor. Let's think about those words that are on the screen for a few moments. Jesus, King Jesus, was rich. You think Elon Musk is rich, but Jesus is rich. He's rich in person. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Almighty God. Equal with the Father. God the only Son. The top person in the universe. Worshipped and served by countless angels. He was rich in his person. Rich in his position as well. Christ, the King, one with all authority in heaven and on earth. Ruler of everyone and everything. Rich. Rich in his possessions, that makes him. Because if everything was made by him and he rules everything, then he owns everything. and everyone in it. He's rich. And yet this rich ruler of everything, deliberately, willingly, joyfully, gave everything. He became poor, joyfully became poor. King Jesus became poor. It says he became poor. He became a man. Earlier we said these words. You remember we said the creed right at the start of our time together? From Philippians 2, we read this, that he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. What a come down. The king, the creator, became a man. Not just any man, a poor man. Laid in a manger when he was born. Nowhere to lay his head throughout his life. Poor. He made himself nothing. But there's more to his poverty than that. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even the death of the cross. He died. Not just any death. The most horrible and shameful death. The death of the cross. He gave up the worship of angels in heaven to be rejected and despised and ridiculed by men. Here's what men did to the king. Listen to this. Later in Matthew's gospel, we read that they stripped him of his clothes. They put a robe on him, a scarlet robe, and they set a crown of thorns on his head, and they put a staff in his right hand. And then they knelt before him and they mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. And then they spat on him. Spat in his face. And then they took the staff out of his hand and they beat him on the head with it again and again and again. And they took off the robe and then they nailed him to a wooden plank. They crucified him and he died with nothing. In terrible pain. He became poor. But there's more to the king's poverty than this. A worse poverty. For when he died on the cross, the king, who knew no sin, perfect, became sin for us. He was forsaken. He was abandoned by God the Father, suffering the just anger of God against human sin. And that's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God-forsakenness, hell, is the worst kind of poverty. No worse poverty than that. And on the cross, King Jesus, the richest of the rich, became the poorest of the poor. He went from heaven to hell. And why did he do it? You see what it says? He did it for your sakes. He did it for us. Jesus the King became poor so that we might be rich. Now, we are poor. We are. The Bible says we're poor. Because we've rejected the King, because we've rebelled against his rule, we've cut ourselves off from God. We've cut ourselves off from the riches of his kingdom. We are spiritual bankrupts. We are spiritual paupers. We are spiritual down and outs. We do not have the resources we need to get into the kingdom of heaven. We have what we need to keep us out. We have our sin. We have what we need to get us to hell. And we can't buy our way out. We are poor. And so what does the king do? The king comes and buys us out. He came to pay the ransom price to set us free. The price we could never pay, death, hell, he paid for us when he died on the cross. He became poor. So that we can become rich. King Jesus makes us rich. He takes our punishment and he gives us his reward. He takes our sin and he gives us his sonship. He takes our separation from God and he gives us his place with God. He takes our slavery and he gives us his royalty. He comes from heaven to hell to buy us, to purchase us, to take us from hell to heaven. He became poor to make us rich. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the king is like. He is a gracious king. That's what the kingdom is like. It's a kingdom of grace. Grace. G. great. R, riches. E. A, thank you. At. C, Christ's. E, expense. Is it G-R-A-C, great, riches, at Christ's, the King's, expense. Free to us, but it cost the King everything. Everything. That's how much he loves us. Do you know that's how much the King of the universe loves you? That's the message of the Bible. It's the fundamental message of the Bible, and that's why this is the most wonderful, priceless, valuable thing this world affords. It contains a priceless truth. I am loved by the King. What more could I ask for? You are loved by the King. For you, he gave everything. What more could you ask for? Nothing. He gave everything. What more could you ask for? He loves you. You could ask for nothing more than that.